Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
What is up? Welcome into the GSMC Baseball Podcast. It is a Friday as we end our week here. And as of course, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. Coming to you as we are going to bring you the scores and highlights from the games the past few days, talk about some stories around the Major League Baseball, and then highlight the games for this weekend. We'll just jump right into it here in this first segment, as we always do on the show, with some review of the games from Wednesday and Thursday now, as it is Friday. And we had a full... Well, actually, we didn't have a full slate of game either day. It was the Twins and the Cardinals, who did not play on Wednesday, by the way, for those who remember me trying to figure that out on the Wednesday show. But so, yeah, it's 14 games on Wednesday, and then about 10 yesterday, with some teams having off days on a Thursday. All right. As we're going to start in Milwaukee with Carlos Carrasco and his, he was pitching in the ninth inning, I know that. Did he finish it off, the complete game? He did, as he went nine innings, allowed two runs on five hits, one walk, 14 strikeouts for Carrasco. And, of course, pitching that game was in National League Park, so he had to swing the bat in that game. And he actually had a base hit and an RBI for his helped himself out for his team there. It's pretty cool having those American League pitchers hit and actually have some success at the plate. So the Brewers dropped this one to the Indians 6-2. Home runs by Tyler Naquin and Francisco Lindor in that one for the Indians. The Brewers did not have a home run in that one, but yeah, took the loss there. Carrasco, nice pitching performance, got the complete game victory. In Texas, it was a walk-off win for the Rangers. And this one, Nomar Mazara with the walk-off homer. He also hit a homer to tie the game in the bottom of the seventh inning. So he tied it and then won it in the bottom of the tenth with a solo homer, a line drive into right field. It was obviously a bullpen game after the starters, but it was Bartolo Colon who went five innings, allowed two earned runs on six hits, one walk, four strikeouts, to give up a home run in this one. That was to Pete Cosma. So, but no decision for both pitchers there, and the bullpens ended up going in this one for quite a while, and then the Rangers got the walk-off win there at home. The Angels shut out the Rockies. It was Bardia. It was the young right-hander for the Angels, Jaime Bardia. I remember him. He was the guy who had the 21 pitch at bat with Brandon Belt. He went five and a third innings, allowed no runs on five hits, one walk, seven strikeouts, and then three relievers behind him kept the Rockies scoreless in Colorado, which is pretty rare, actually. Quite rare, as the Angels beat up on him 8-0. Home runs from Zach Cozart, Justin Upton, and Rene Rivera for the Angels. 8-0 win there. Astros beat the A's in Oakland 4-1. This is the Gerrit Cole start on Wednesday, as he, Daniel Meg did pitch pretty well as well, but it was to Gerrit Cole, who in six innings allowed one run on four hits, three walks, nine more strikeouts for Cole, as he continues to roll along here with those strikeouts. The A's only scratched across one run there, gave up four, as the Astros got home runs from Stassi and from Fisher, so a couple young guys getting it done for the Astros on the road there. In New York, it was game two of the Red Sox and Yankees series. We'll talk about game three. All these games were pretty fun late, as the Yankees were down by a run in the bottom of the eighth inning, came back, scored four runs off of Craig Kimbrell and company to take a 9-6 lead that they did not give up in the top half of the ninth. Got the win. Chapman came in for the save. Yeah, big run scoring, a big home run by a big home run by Aaron Judge to extend the lead. But the go ahead hit was the Brett Gardner triple after the long at bat off Kimbrel, and he tripled in the center field, knocked in two to give the Yankees the lead there. After Hanley had hit a home run in the top half of the seventh to give the Red Sox the lead, but all for naught as the Yankees pulled that one out in the Bronx to take. That was the first. They took the first two games of that series. Would go for the sweep yesterday. I'll let you know how that went in just a moment. The Padres beat the Nationals on Wednesday at home 2-1. It was a bullpen game as they scored. There was a run scored late. It was tied 1-1 most of this game until the Padres scored a run in the bottom of the seventh inning, and Matt Caesar double knocked in a run. The starting pitchers for each team were both pretty good. Gio Gonzalez went six innings, allowed one run on five hits, three walks, eight strikeouts for the Nationals left-hander. And then Joey Lucchesi went five innings, allowed one run on six hits, one walk, six strikeouts, did give up a home run. That was to Anthony Rendon. So, but the Padres get the win there. In L.A., the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks as the top team. The Dodgers are still kind of reeling, though. As of now, they're still five games under 500. Waiting for all those guys to come back off the DL. Now, obviously, having to put a Kershaw on the DL, that's not great either. But Alex Wood pitched pretty well, went five innings, allowed one run on five hits, three walks, four strikeouts, did give up a home run in this one. And that was to Nick Ahmed. Well, that was the inside the park home run, I think. But still a home run. Still goes. You get credit for a home run. Patrick Corbin went five innings, allowed one run on three hits, four walks, seven strikeouts for the left-hander for the Diamondbacks. But the Dodgers get the win in this one, 6-3. Braves get back in the win column as they beat the Braves. Braves beat the Rays 5-2 in this one. This game is in Tampa. Another one of our lovely interleague games, as it was Julio Teheran who went six shutout innings for the Braves, allowed four hits and seven, struck out seven, didn't walk any, didn't give up any runs. And a nice performance there for Teheran, getting his third win on the year. Home runs by Nick Markakis and this one for the Braves, and that's all they needed as they won that one 5-2. Another 5-2 score was in Toronto up north. The Blue Jays beat the Mariners. It was a nice pitching performance from Jaime Garcia. Got the no decision due to some late inning scoring. The Blue Jays actually were trailing in this game 2-1 for much of the time, until they scored four runs in the bottom of the eighth inning to take the lead. It was a flurry of hits. It looks like it was a double by Solarte, double by Smoke, Pilar singled, and then Luke Molly also singled to score a run too. So a couple string of hits for the Toronto to take the lead there in their home ballpark up north. All right, that'll wrap it up for actually one more game. Cubs beat up on the Marlins 13-4. Jose Quintana gets his fourth win, and the Cubs bats come alive at home. They get home runs from all their big guys. Bryant, Rizzo, and Addison Russell all go deep at the friendly confines. All right, to Thursday, as the Red Sox in the final game of the rivalry do avoid the sweep in New York. They get the win 5-4 after breaking the tie. Well, the Red Sox actually were up 4-0 for most of this game, and then they gave up a four-run seventh inning to let the Yankees come and tie. And they're up 4-0 all the way until the seventh, and then the Yankees came back and scored four runs on a walk, a single, and a force out, it looks like, and then a wild pitch as well. So kind of every different way you can. And then at the top of the ninth, J.D. Martinez hit a pop-up. This is another thing. Just more rant, make me rant more on Yankee Stadium. Hit a pop-up that would be an out in a lot of different ballparks, but at Yankee Stadium, or at least maybe off the wall if it was, a short porch would still probably be an out. Hit a ball that literally went over the fence by probably inches, because we should judge trying to rob it. I advise you to go look at the highlight of this home run, because, I mean, I don't know if it was reviewed or not. I don't think it was reviewed, whether there was fan interference, because the ball definitely got over the wall, but very close, as as Judge, if there was no fan there, may have missed the ball as he looked like the ball did go over his outstretched glove. It didn't matter as J.D. Martinez did get a home run on that one to take the lead for the Red Sox. And this time, Kimbrel was able to get the save. Out in Toronto, the Mariners came back and beat the Blue Jays behind Mike Leake 9-3. In this one, Leake was pretty good. He went 7 innings, allowed 2 runs on 6 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts to give a home run to Russell Martin. But that was pretty much the only he got dinged on. Is that was that 2-run? That was the was a 2-run homer by Martin. Those were the only runs he gave up. The Mariners got homers from Seager. Actually, two homers from Seager. Ryan Healy also went deep, and so did Mike Zunino. 9-3 win for the Mariners in that one. Braves beat the Marlins 9-2. Mike Fultonamich, a good start for him as he gets the win for Atlanta. He went 5 innings, allowed 1 run unearned on 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts for the Braves right-hander. No home runs in, well, a couple home runs in this game. Brinson went deep for the Marlins, and Albies and Freeman went deep for Atlanta. Continuing on here, the Brewers beat the Rockies again in Coors Field. 5-2 final is this one as Yelise Chacin gets the win against his former team. Five and a third innings, 2 runs allowed, 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts to give up a home run in this one to Trevor Story. But that's pretty much all he allowed. Lorenzo Cain went deep for the Brewers, and they get the win 5-2. Nationals beat the Diamondbacks in extra innings 2-1, took 11 innings to decide this one as the Nationals get the win on the road. It was a pitcher's duel most of this game. Zach Greinke against Tanner Roark. Roark went 7 innings, allowed 1 run on 4 hits, 4 strikeouts, no walks. So Greinke was equally as good, pretty much the same line, allowed went 7 innings, allowed 1 run on 4 hits, 6 strikeouts. Very similar lines there for those two guys. That's pretty cool. But they both get no decisions, and the D-backs were not able to hold the Nationals. They broke the tie with a Matt Adams single in the top of the 11th inning, and the Sean Doolittle is able to come in and get the save for the Nats. Angels beat the Twins at home in L.A. 7-4. Over the Twins, it was Garrett Richards who went 5 and a third innings, 3 runs allowed, 5 hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts to give up a home run in this one to Brian Dozier. Max Kepler also went deep for Minnesota, but they lose as Ian Kinsler, Justin Upton, and Shohei Ohtani hit home runs for the Angels. In this one, we'll have to look at that Ohtani homer. I've kind of talked out on Ohtani. He's definitely found his... I mean, I don't know if he's found his groove. He's not really a big... I mean, he's still a big story, obviously, but he's just kind of integrated himself into old Major League life. He's a Major Leaguer now. Cardinals beat the Padres 2-1. Mikolas is 5-0 now on the season as he gets another win for the Redbirds. They win this one in a tight matchup, 2-1. Jordan Lyles was pretty good as well. He went 5 innings, allowed 1 earned run on 5 hits, 6 strikeouts to give up a home run in this one to Tommy Pham. It was a solo shot, but it was all about Mikolas. It was about that young right-hander, Miles Mikolas, for the Cardinals. He was 6 2/3 innings, allowed 1 run on 5 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, also gave up 1 home run, the only run he gave up, and that was to Lopez, the catcher for the Padres. Rafi Lopez hit a homer, and that was the only run they scored in that one. And then finally, the Reds beat the Dodgers 4-1 in this one. It was a late-inning affair for the Dodgers. For the Reds, they were scoreless until the 6th inning. Dodgers were up 1-0, and then they scored in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings to get the 4 runs they needed to get the win there. It was a Walker Buehler for the Dodgers. He went 6 innings, allowed 2 runs on 5 hits, 8 strikeouts. Tough luck loser as Molly, the starter for the Reds, Tyler Molly, stays in and gets the win as he was the pitcher of record there in the 6th inning. Went 5 and allowed no earned runs. 1 run, it was not earned. 3 hits, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts in this one. Scooter DeJeanette hit a home run for the Reds off Daniel Hudson in the 8th inning. All right. perfect timing as we'll wrap it up for this segment. I got both days in. We'll talk some about the Red Sox and Yankee rivalry when we come back, and then we'll get into some more stories for the third segment. And, of course, in the fourth segment, we will highlight that we'll preview the games for this weekend. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast, as we are going to go in the second segment and talk about the Yankees and Red Sox rivalry and how it just continues to get better and better. Honestly, right now, with both teams the way they are in the standings and where their rosters are built up and such, you could argue that it's the best we've seen in quite a while, maybe since both these teams were battling it out for the ALCS, to get the rights to get to the World Series. Every year, we kind of had both teams going a little low. Well, the Yankees did get the World Series. Yankees got the World Series in 09. Red Sox got theirs in 13, the last time they did. The Red Sox got the one up on the Yankees' most recent World Series championship. Yankees definitely want to get back. Well, everybody wants to get back, but the Yankees are definitely making it seem like they are going to pull out every stop possible to get back to the World Series, as they feel like they had the best team last year as well. Everybody thought they were a year early last year. Obviously, Aaron Judge having the season that he had last year was quite a surprise to a lot, but having a 3-1 lead on the Astros and blowing it, I mean, everybody talked about that 3-1 lead. Oh, the Indians blew a 3-1 lead. The Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. The Yankees blew a 3-1 lead too, guys. Just let you guys know that. The Yankees did that. That happened. And then the Astros ended up winning the World Series anyway. So that could be said that the Yankees, if the Astros were the team that just squeaked out the series against the Yankees could have been the team to squeak out the series against the Dodgers, just like the Astros did the next series there. So, I mean, this both teams are right on the brink, and it makes these series really fun. So I think they're now 3-3 against each other. Both series kind of went the same way. The home team won the first two games, and then the road team won the last game. I can double check that to make sure, but I know that's what happened this time. Obviously, we just talked about it. But last time, it probably happened the same way. If I'm remembering correctly, I can tell you in just a matter of moments here. The Yankees did win the middle game against the Red Sox, but they're still 2 out of 3. Home team got 2 out of 3. In the respective series. So they're 3-3 against each other right now. I mean, they're about as evenly matched as it gets. I mean, the Yankees have a little bit more firepower when it comes to the fact that they were able to get it in via trade in the offseason, and also they have the young stars as well when it comes to Gleyber Torres coming up. They have, obviously, Aaron Judge. We'll see what happens when Greg Bird gets back from the DL. He's also a big hitter for them from the left side. So, I mean, the Red Sox, they have Mookie Betts. I mean, that's the thing. They get J.D. Martinez in the offseason. He hits the big home run last night, but I think the heart and soul of that team is going to be their rotation and is going to be Mookie Betts. The Yankees kind of have their rotation where they want it to, with Severino pitching well. Sabathia's in a little bit of a renaissance right now and on later stages of his career. The only problem is Sonny. That's kind of it. That's kind of it. The Red Sox have similar issues. They have guys at the top of the rotation like Chris Sale and I don't even know. David Price is pretty up and down. Kind of same thing as Masahiro Tanaka. But I mean, they've been getting good starts from Drew Pomerantz. They've been getting good starts from Eduardo Rodriguez. So Yankees Red Sox kind of get it everywhere. Whereas the Yankees, it's still going to be CC and Severino, and then it's also going to say, okay, is Sonny Gray going to pitch ball today? Does Masahiro Tanaka feel like either has it or he doesn't? He'll just be dominant or he'll get rocked. I mean, it's kind of either way. And then both teams still, I mean, no rotation is completely complete. The Yankees have Montgomery, who the young pitcher for them. So he's doing pretty well this season too. Still trying to figure out some kinks as well. He's in the beginning of his career. Nothing really to be afraid of there. But the Yankees, definitely not afraid to get some youth in their lineup, as they are now being deemed the baby bombers for a reason, as they have that middle of the order, which is pretty darn dangerous. I mean, the Red Sox on a good day have it too. I mean, Mookie Betts has four home runs in his career. I mean, three home runs in a game four times in his career. So the guy knows how to hit long balls, knows how to hit in that park. I think that's what's going to come down to it. Who plays better in their park, especially when it's head to head. So both teams kind of holding serve, only dropping one game in their park to the other. And winning the other two. So 3-3 Yankees and Red Sox. Got to love this rivalry. Every time they are able to happen, it's the games are, whether it's shaky bullpen action or the teams are just really fighting, grinding out at bats at the end of the games, which, I mean, I know they are. They are, obviously. It's just the fact that they want to win so badly, especially against the other team, and they're getting these new faces involved. I mean, I think Gleyber Torres had a big hit the other day to win a game. They had Aaron Judge had a big hit. Even Brett Gardner, who's been a Yankee for quite a while, been in this rivalry for quite a while now. You got to like that from them too. I mean, oh yeah, I totally forgot about Rick Porcello for the Red Sox. That's the other guy. So basically it's Sale, and I'm trying to make my comparisons here, Sale and Porcello, just like it's Sabathia and Severino being more of the, it's funny saying Sabathia being more of the consistent arm for the Yankees rotation, but that's kind of how it is now. Tanaka and Gray are kind of up and down here and there. Same thing with David Price on the other side with the Red Sox, is he's still not found a way to get into the hearts of those northeastern fans up there in Boston, but he's still trying to figure it out. I think him, I might get there. Whether he plays Fortnite too much, I think I saw some reports saying he was having some carpal tunnel issues because he plays too many video games. I don't think that's not a good way to get yourself in the near and dear to those fans. I mean, they want to see wins. Obviously, they do have a World Series within the last few years. Gotta like that if you're, but I mean, when you're thinking about this payroll they have for both teams, a World Series, they're kind of getting farther and farther away. That was 5 years ago for the Red Sox. That was almost 10 years ago for the Yankees now, as they look back on their most recent championship, and the fans think, okay, we're ready for another one. Let's go, guys. Come on, revamp. We're done. We're tired of the Astros. Well, the Astros only won one, but we're tired of these no-name teams getting them, like the Royals and the Astros, and well, the Cubs did get theirs in 2016. I feel like the Cubs were kind of due. That was going to happen eventually. That's going to probably be another topic I'll have to get to eventually. Where the Cubs are doing in the NL Central right now. I'm doing, it's AL East talk. We're going to get into some talk about the more new MLB stars. And I've said one of them, like Gleyber Torres, even though he's only been in the MLB for what, two, three weeks, and the same thing with Otani, who's only been in the league for now about a month and a half. So already five home runs for Otani, though. You got to like that if you're an Angels fan. And he pitched pretty well his last time out. Got to get that consistency down if he wants to continue to be a big talking point around the country. I mean, we're baseball fans. I don't know. Are we too quick to take things for granted? Like the fact that we have Otani is amazing, obviously, for the league and for baseball itself. But are we just kind of passing over him? Oh, yep, he's good. We're good. Maybe he's on the Angels. Maybe because he's on the California team. Baseball, if there's any East Coast bias anywhere, I mean, the NBA is kind of coastal, West Coast, East Coast sport. There's plenty of stuff. Like, it's cool. LA, the Lakers are good. Football is just so big that it's going to be it's big everywhere. So it doesn't matter whether you're on the East Coast or West Coast. But baseball is kind of that weird, it's kind of just in that weird little zone right now where there's so much East Coast bias. It can be so much East Coast bias. I don't know whether it's ESPN just shuts down their LA studios after the football season or after basketball season, and they just stick with the East Coast bias over there. Because, I mean, we have Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, he's playing for the Angels, who just happen to be in first place, or at least within a game of first place. I mean, right now, at this moment, they are in first place, tied with virtually with the Astros. Actually, they do have a better winning percentage by a couple of decimal points. The Angels do, but I mean, why is Shohei already kind of withering into the ether of baseball, and we're kind of just taking him for granted when we have, oh my gosh, Mookie Betts, oh my gosh, Gleyber Torres, oh my gosh, Aaron Judge all the time. Oh, Stanton struck out again. Oh, because they play for the Red Sox and Yankees. It's the rivalry, man. When they play against each other, it takes the MLB by storm. Well, it takes MLB media by storm, at least. Being way out here on the West Coast, it's a little like, okay, yeah, they're playing again. They'll probably play each other in like 2 more weeks anyways. That's just how the scheduling works with the divisional teams. Like, I've kind of gone over that already. Let's see. Well, they don't play the Red Sox. Will play the Yankees again at the end of June, so not quite that long. Not too short though either, so I have to give them a little bit of credit as they spread out that rivalry, trying to get as much mileage out of it as possible throughout the whole season. So, I mean, whatevers. I mean, the Giants and the Dodgers, the other big rivalry in our league, in the MLB, they played 10 times to start the season off. You don't see the Red Sox and Yankees playing 10 times to start the season off. I mean, that's another argument for the whole West Coast, East Coast bias. I mean, the Giants and Yankees, I mean, Giants and Dodgers, that's a great rivalry. Isn't it as good as the, they don't deem it as good as the Red Sox and Yankees, not well enough to be spread out through the entire season in order to get more viewership, more time in between. Like, oh, we're just going to pack all these, basically half. The Giants have played half their games already with the Dodgers. Over half, actually, since it's 10, versus, and they only play 19 times. So just over half of their games have already been played against the Dodgers. Just for an example, versus the Yankees and Red Sox played 6 times. And they don't play, and they're going to play, what, 13 more times? And they're going to play, not going to play for a month. And then they're going to play again, probably 2-3 series within 2 months of each other, within a 2 month span. I mean, that's just scheduling. It's interesting how it all kind of works out that way. All right. Well, Red Sox and Yankees, gotta love it. The fact that they've revamped all their lineups. Obviously, we got some great young stars. It's a good segue to get me into the next segment. We're gonna really go in deep on, like, who are these young stars? Where'd they come from? I mean, these guys come in trades and stuff like that. Were they drafted? I mean, obviously, we're gonna highlight some of the bigger names we talked about, but also some of the guys maybe we haven't heard of. I know we have some guys out in New York that are big. Like I've said, Gleyber Torres is a big name. In Atlanta, we have Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuña Jr. And obviously, they're hitting the absolute cover off the ball. In Philadelphia, there's Rhys Hoskins. I mean, he was up last year, ended up finishing fifth in the Rookie of the Year voting, but he only played for, I mean, about, what, 2 months? Came up in August, played August and September, and that was about it. But there's also some other guys out in Philadelphia that are pretty impressive. The pitching staff is up there as well. So, I mean, there's people all over the place. Mookie Betts, I know he's been in the league for quite a while now. But we're going to get to these young stars. I mean, even some of these guys, I mean, you think about Francisco Lindor, George Springer, Alex Bregman. These are all still young guys. They've been in the league. I know we've kind of heard their names for a long time because Lindor, all those guys you just said, Lindor, Springer, and Bregman, have all been in the World Series already. I mean, Lindor played with the Indians in the World Series in 2016. I mean, the other two guys were in the Astros last year. He had other young stars in the World Series last year too, with the Dodgers. Jock Peterson had his day, but especially with Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger, you have people all over the cross country, and I can kind of pick and pull a name for every team. I mean, Ryan Healy on the Mariners. I mean, Justin Buxton, or no, that's not his name, Bill Buxton on the Twins, Byron Buxton, there we go, on the Twins. But there's dudes everywhere, and they're coming up, and they are kind of sneaking, and that's one of the things is that there's so many different players. And Major League Baseball is amazing because there is all these rings of minor league talent where these guys have prospects. These teams have prospects in their system, and then when they're deemed ready, they come on up, and they usually either show up and show out, or they go back down. Basically, that's how it works in the major leagues. And we're seeing a lot of guys not get nervous or stand down in the bright lights of the Major League Baseball. They're showing, they're in the show and they're showing out, basically. That's what they, I mean, that's what they call it, the show. It's just such a, such a big difference between even AAA and Major League Baseball, as we'll go into them a little bit more deep, in depth on the next segment, and we'll do that right after these messages. So stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast, as we are going to get in on some news and, well, not really news, just more discussion about the rising stars in Major League Baseball. I know I mentioned Ozzy Albies, Ronald Acuna, Dolibi Torres. You have to think about Yoan Moncada for the White Sox. He was a Red Sox prospect, big Red Sox prospect, I think their top prospect, as he was the seventh best in all Major League Baseball, according to MLB.com. But, was traded to the White Sox for Chris Sale. Remember, he was in the big Chris Sale deal along with multiple other prospects as well. So he was in AAA for just a while. Obviously came up after there was a vacancy at his position due to the Todd Frazier trade over to the Yankees. Now Frazier's on the Mets, so I mean, didn't make it back to the White Sox, but definitely gave it a spot for Moncada to come up and play, as he is now pretty much setting the, well, you know, say setting the world on fire. He's on a tough little team when it comes to the White Sox, but there's definitely a player to watch. I don't know if he's going to be getting into a position where they're going to just try and roll it out, play it out with him and see if he's going to turn into a good player that's going to bring their team back to the promised land, because the White Sox, I mean, they probably need more help than that. Or they're going to maybe just see, let's just keep, he's ready now, let's just keep trying to acquire prospects and they'll trade him again and try and see if they can get something back for him. As far as Oz, and when it comes to Ozzy Albies, he's down in Atlanta. I mean, obviously, has kind of hit the MLBI storm. And this season, he did come up last year a little bit and play a little bit last year, as he was invited to the spring training last year and then came up on August 1st, his first home run on August 3rd last year. But this year was the first time he's actually really come up in the beginning of the year. We all heard about Ronald Acuna in spring training hitting the big home runs. I mean, he was the big name, but nobody really thought about Ozzy Albies, as he's now come up. And I think he's already hit 11 home runs in the year to start off this season. So really, really making a name for him. And then obviously he was just, I think, drafted straight out or just signed by the Braves, as he is from Williamstad, Curacao, just like Andrew Jones and Simmons are both from Alderson Simmons are both from Curacao, both Braves prospects, and definitely. It looks like that decision, his influence, he was influenced to make the decision to go to the Braves by the connection with Jones and Simmons as well. So, yeah, he's international free agent. He was signed by the Braves. I think Acuna was the same thing, as he was also an international free agent from Venezuela, and he was signed in 2014 and worked his way up through the minor leagues. I mean, this is a top prospect for a team, and it's still, he signed in 2014 out of Venezuela, and it took him 3 years in minor league baseball to get into the major leagues. I mean, that's that that goes to show you right there. I mean, he was the number one prospect in baseball. Obviously, that's according to Baseball America. Shohei Ohtani, once he became available and was making himself making it known that he wanted to come to MLB early. Remember, if Ohtani had waited a year, he could have got a lot more money because you have to wait. There's some rules in Japan that you can get more money for your posting fee from the posting fee when you're if you're wait till your age 24 season. But Ohtani was ready and he wanted to come to the America and play baseball. So he didn't wait. He didn't have to wait very long at all. As he played. I mean, basically the Nippon leagues over there in Japan is almost like an in between. It's right beneath MLB. When it comes to just like, you know, competition wise, it's above triple. I would say it's above AAA, in between AAA and MLB. It's very, very competitive baseball over there, very high level baseball over there. And that's why obviously Ohtani didn't have to take any time in AAA and minor leagues at all, where Albies took 4 years. I mean, he hit all the stops. He was at Class A advanced, was in Double A, played at AAA. I mean, they're probably short little stints at each one, longer stints in AAA, but it looks like that he still took his time to get up to the majors. Obviously, 139 games in AAA, he hit. I mean, well over 320 with 21 home runs and 44 stolen bases. So, I mean, you gotta like that if you are the Braves. And it's interesting that you might ask why it took him so long to come up. You don't see that in other sports whatsoever. You have guys putting up those kind of numbers. You're gonna definitely be like, okay, what? Where is he? Why isn't he coming up? And then also in Gleyber Torres, he's the another Venezuelan prospect. And this one was the Yankees. But the thing is, he signed with the Cubs as an international free agent and was in the Cubs farm system for a while, but then was traded to the Yankees for Aroldis Chapman, remember? So now Chapman back on the Yankees because he was on the Cubs for just a bit. Obviously won the World Series with the Cubs in 2016. And then came right back to play for the Yankees and was with the guy and now playing on the same team as the guy who he was traded for. So, I mean, there was a bunch of guys he was traded for, obviously, but Adam Warren, I believe, is also playing right now too. So yeah, he's in that bullpen as well. So, but Torres is definitely the biggest name right now because of the fact that, I mean, he's a position player, plays every day and he's playing very well for the old Yankees and their pinstripes, Yankees. And then we have, I mean, there's also some other players. I mean, these are guys who are just starting now. I mean, these are guys who, if they didn't play, I mean, I think of all these people, those four guys I just talked about, Moncada and Albies are the only ones that actually got at-bats last year. Torres didn't, and neither did Acuna. The other two guys came up for barely any time. I think they came up, I mean, mid-August. And then I can talk about Rhys Hoskins, too. He came up in August as well. But Rhys Hoskins is another story. All these guys, they all signed international money. Rhys Hoskins is from Sacramento. He's from out here in California, went to Jesuit High School in California, and then Sac State, and was drafted in the fifth round by the Phillies. And now just kind of worked his way up through the minor league system and got called up last year, set the world on fire last year, and got himself a solid spot. Whether he's playing left field or first base, but he's right. Going to be a big part of that middle of that order for the Phillies for quite a while now. As him and also Odubel Herrera, another name. I think Odubel is only like 26. Hoskins is 24. But yeah, there's so much young talent. I can go through all the 25 and under talent in Major League Baseball. I mean, Chris Bryant's only, I think, 24, 25 years old. Hoskins is 24. Greg Bird, I talked about him for a second with the Yankees. We'll see what happens when he comes back from injury. He's been hurt the last couple of years. As it is, he's kind of like, you know, injury-prone guy. He's 25, has been successful when he's healthy. Jose Berrios for the Twins, the right-hander, he's 23. Luis Castillo, the right-hander for the Reds, he's 23. Byron Buxton's, I think, is 24. I mean, Matt Chapman for the A's. I can even talk about Matt Chapman for a while too. He's 24. He's 24. I mean, There's just so much talent around Major League Baseball. It's the same thing. Aaron Nola is 24. I can just keep going. Wilson Contreras is 25. I think Chris Bryant might be just a tad over, but he's also another guy. These guys are coming up young and they're playing, but they're also coming up when they're ready. I mean, they're not. There's no rush in Major League Baseball. They have plenty of talent. I mean, not plenty of talent, but it's plenty of time to take when you're in minor league baseball to chill out and, you know, just find your swing, hone your craft. And be ready to play when you're up there, because you're playing every day. That's the thing about baseball. You don't get a whole week. Okay, good game this week. You're going to have a whole week to figure it out. I mean, I get football and the whole thing. It's a completely different sport. Okay, Chris Bryant's 26 years old. There you go. And then Odubel Herrera is 26 as well. So right on the cusp there of what I'm trying to talk about here. Still young. Still, I mean, the prime in Major League Baseball is like, what, 28 to 30 or something like that, 28 to 31 is considered the prime in baseball. So they're still right on the edge of the front end of that. So they got plenty of time. Baseball, I mean, my whole point here is that baseball is in good hands, honestly. I mean, that's the whole point here. We have good young pitching, obviously. Lance McCullers Jr., like I said, you got Jose Berrios, Luis Castillo. There's even more. Aaron Nola is another guy. I mean, the whole Phillies starting rotation. I haven't even gotten to the Phillies yet. They're on my title line. I'm like, let's talk about the Phillies. I have talked about Herrera and a little bit about Reese Hoskins. Obviously, Reese Hoskins, another guy. I think he finished fifth last year in the voting last year for the Rookie of the Year. Only played 2 months of baseball, so. And you just gotta just love it. You gotta just appreciate it. Don't take it for granted. The Phillies were pretty bad the last couple of years. They reloaded now and they're in first place in the NL East by either their. I mean, I think the Mets have been down a little bit. So the Phillies look like they have been able to take a lead. Or Atlanta actually came back. They've won three in a row as well. So Atlanta is now a half game up on the Phillies as they both. Two young teams. I mean, look at their lineups. They have youth throughout, and they have some. Well, at least the Braves, they do have Markakis and Freddie Freeman in the middle there. The Phillies, it's Herrera and Hoskins in the middle, and they're both. I mean, Herrera's been in the league for a little bit now. I think he's been in the league since 2015. So this is his fifth. This is now his fourth season in the league. So. That's quite all right. As far as like he's not been in the league, not fresh rookie or something like that, or quasi rookie like Reese Hoskins is. It's him, Reese Hoskins. They got Cesar Hernandez who's playing really well. I mean, they got a lot of players who've been kind of just toiling around in that Phillies on that Phillies team. It's not very good. Now finally they got their pitching all figured out with Nola. Effin, I mean, they have Vince Velasquez who throws absolute bullets. I mean, Velasquez, I think, came over in that deal from the Astros for Ken Giles when the Astros were really making a push for the playoffs. So there's been definitely a lot of good trades going on when it comes to the Phillies, and they're trying to transition from, you know, the Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley led Phillies team to a younger team where you have now obviously Reese Hoskins, Odubel Herrera. I'm trying to think of more. And obviously, they did get some veteran talent in there as well. They got Carlos Santana from the Indians, right? Yeah, from the Indians last year, and now he's holding down at first base for them with Hoskins playing out in left field as they're both hitting really well. Obviously, Aaron Altier, Afaro behind the plate. I mean, all these guys kind of just, you know, just hitting the ball, hitting the cover off the ball all over the place. So you got to like the fact if you're a Phillies fan, you weren't expecting to be good. Maybe we're a year away. It's always these teams that are a year away that are maybe like, okay, they're actually going to be good this year. they're already 7 games over 500. They just swept the Giants in 4 games. That's not really saying that much, but. That's what happened. I mean, they've won. They're 22-15. I mean, you got what's wrong? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all with that. So the only problem is got to see if they sustain it. They got to sustain it with these young players. I mean, just looking at their lineup from Thursday, I feel like they only have one guy who's over 26 or 27, really, in their lineup. I mean, yeah, Velasquez was the starter. He's like 25, 26. Then they got Cesar Hernandez, Aaron Altier, Herrera, Hoskins, Carlos Santana. Oh, yeah. That we totally forgot about one of their better players is Franco, their third baseman, Mikel Franco. He's 26. 25, turns 26 this year. So, I mean, he's 25. Then they got Kingery at shortstop. He's young, too. So, I mean, they have all these younger kids. Scott Kingery, he was 1994. So, he's 24 this year. Last month. So, just looking at it. Alfaro was their catcher. So, and that's a lineup that's littered with young players. I think Carlos Santana is clearly their oldest player. And he is, he's getting up there. He's almost to 30. So, I mean, he's over. I know he's 32. He's 32 years old. So he's clearly their oldest player. As everybody else, I think is as well below 30. As they have Altier is 28, and then just looking at the rest of these guys, Hernandez is 28 as well. So, yeah, lots of young talent on that Phillies team, and we'll just have to wait and see if they can sustain it for the rest of the year. So we'll come back with the preview for the weekend as we finish off the show today on a Friday and get you guys ready for a nice weekend of baseball. So stay tuned for all of that.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of the day today here on the GSMC Baseball Podcast. It is a Friday, which means we are going to preview the whole weekend for you in Major League Baseball. So I'll give you some key pitching matchups to look for, as I already see one of them that I definitely want to talk about on this this Friday day today, as we're going to have some cool series this weekend. The Phillies and the Mets are going to be going at it in Philadelphia. It'll be Steven Matz against Jake Arrieta for the Phillies as they get a weekend series started over in New York. It'll be the A's and the Yankees. Sonny Gray against his former team. That's what I want to say. I'm going to note that one. I'm not sure if it's his first start, but definitely one of the first starts he's made against his former team after they traded him last year over to the Yankees. The A's have not announced who they're actually going to throw out there today on the mound. They have the only TBD out there right now. In Toronto, it'll be Chris Sale against Aaron Sanchez for the Blue Jays. Sale 3-1 with a 2.02 ERA. Sanchez 2-3 with a 4.14 ERA. Chris Sale 63 strikeouts already on the season, as he looks to put that number even higher after the day today, as he pitched pretty well last time out in Texas, struck out 12 in 7 innings. He did over in Texas. Down in Arizona, it'll be the Nationals and the Diamondbacks. Max Scherzer against Matt Cook for the Diamondbacks. Cook's 2-0 with a 2.13 ERA in his time starting in place of the injured Taiwan Walker, who was going to be out for the whole year and likely maybe of next year as well. He got to get Tommy John surgery. Scherzer is still pitching like the Cy Young Award winner he is. 6-1 with the 1.74 ERA, 80 strikeouts already in the early season and young season still for the Nationals, as he does lead the majors with that 80 strikeouts. He's punched out at least 10 in the five of his last 8 outings. So he's a strikeout machine, obviously, for the Nationals. In Los Angeles, it's going to be an interesting game here for the Dodgers and the Reds. It will be Matt Harvey making his first start for the Reds since he was traded over there for Devin Mesoraco to the Reds. That happened happened on Wednesday, I believe. The Mets and the Reds were really make a deal to get Harvey over there. And they were actually able to get something back for him. And instead of just putting him on waivers and kind of losing him for nothing, they got a trade. Maybe were able to make a trade, getting Mesoraco. Obviously, the Mets need some help catching, because they're not getting pretty much any production out of that position at the plate. So hopefully Mesoraco, a good hitting catcher, will get that figured out for them. Harvey, 0-2 with this even 7 ERA on the season. Kenta Maeda is 2-2 with a 4.02 ERA, 41 strikeouts. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll talk about it for sure on Monday. In Texas, it'll be the Battle of Texas, the Rangers and the Astros in Houston. Cole Hamels for the Rangers against Justin Verlander for the Astros. Kind of the tale of two starters here. Cole Hamels 1-4 with a 3.94 ERA. Verlander 4-1 with the 1.17 ERA and 70 strikeouts. Hamels, that ERA is not terrible. It's not getting much help, as his record does not reflect what he's been able to do. And then looking at other starters around this league here, I want to just kind of highlight some big ones. There is Trevor Bauer will be going for the Cleveland Indians, who still sit at even 500, 18-18, and they remain on top of the American League Central, which is looking like the American League. I don't even know, toilet or something like that, because I mean the team in first place is 500, and there's no teams. I mean, the Cubs are four games over 500 in the Central, and they are in fourth place. Yeah, they're a game and a half back, but there's three teams in front of them in their own division. Same thing in the East with the Mets, a game over. I mean, the Giants are 500. They're in third place in their division. That's only 500 team. The West is a little more spread out. Not too much, though. Seattle is six games over and over 500, and they're in third place behind the Angels and the Astros. So I mean, just interesting looking at that for the differences. Like, I've already gone my rant with the whole, you know, unbalanced schedule doesn't make any sense, blah blah blah. It's not really, it's giving the Indians easier chance, even though they're in the worst division, but they aren't playing that well either. So I mean, they're not doing very well right now. And even in their weak division, but they'll have a chance to right the ship this weekend as they play one of their worst division rivals in the Kansas City Royals. All right, let's look to Saturday now. Just pick out some of the big pitchers going for these teams. It'll be James Shields against John Lester as the battle for Chicago will be going down this weekend. White Sox and Cubs at the friendly confines at Wrigley Field. They play today too. It'll be Carson Fulmer against Tyler Chatwood. That's today. And then tomorrow it'll be, like I said, Shields and Lester, as they're going to get that game going in the afternoon there at Wrigley Field. And then up north in Toronto, north of the border, it'll be David Price against Marco Estrada, Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays. Price, like I said, 2-4, the 5.11 ERA. Still interesting how his Red Sox career is moving along here. He's did miss his last start with that carpal tunnel in mild carpal tunnel strain last week. So just interesting how we'll see how he comes back from that quote unquote. It is an injury. It doesn't feel very good, obviously. And then we're going to actually have, there's 16 games on the schedule today. It's Tampa Bay and Saturday. It's 16 games scheduled. So we're going to have Tampa Bay and the Orioles are actually going to play two games. The Orioles have not announced a starter for either. Chris Archer will start the second game for the Rays. In Arizona, the Diamondbacks have not announced a starter for tomorrow, but they will be facing off against Steven Strasburg for the Nationals as he'll get the ball. He's 4-2 with a 3.52 ERA on the year. Not that bad. 3.52. There you go. That's a little better. Down in Miami, it'll be Yarlin Garcia against Soroka for the Braves. The young right-hander, Mike Soroka, is only 20 years old. As the Giants were able to beat him, in his last start on Sunday. But and then Yarlin Garcia, he did have his worst outing of his career last time, after he allowed a career high 7 runs and 3 homers and lost to the Cubs his last time out. But he's been pretty good for the Marlins the whole season. His ERA is still around 2.6. And for the Back to the Battle of Texas. It'll be the Doug Fister against Charlie Morton. For the Astros, Morton's still 4-0 with a 2.16 ERA. Houston is still looking pretty good there in that division as they're keeping pace with the Angels. In Detroit, it'll be Felix Hernandez against Michael Fulmer for the Tigers. Fulmer 1-2 with a 3.51 ERA, 34 strikeouts. Felix Hernandez 4-3 with a 5.28 as he looks to get that down. The King Felix not pitching like King Felix. In Philadelphia, Mets and Phillies, it'll be Noah Syndergaard against Zach Eflin, and a pair of young right-handers. As Syndergaard is still looking for his third win, is 2-1 with a 3.09 ERA, 54 strikeouts. He's had a nice little stretch, but definitely not his best. They haven't been quality starts, but he needs to pitch, must learn to pitch up in the strike zone with more regularity. Obviously, his effectiveness needs to get a little better, too, with the preciseness on his pitches. All right, that'll do it for Saturday. I'm looking around here, just not really seeing any big names. Maybe Sunday will give us something better. Obviously, we're gonna get the Strasburg start. Scherzer's pitching, and then on Sunday, all these big series, a lot of good series coming are happening this weekend. I know the Giants are in Pittsburgh. Like I said, Mets, Phillies. It's going to be Nationals and Diamondbacks, Braves and Marlins. The Battle of Chicago is happening this weekend. White Sox and Cubs it's the one of the games I'll highlight. Lucas Giolito going for the White Sox against Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs. Kyle Hendricks is 3-2 with a 3.02 ERA as he looks to write the ship, but pitch a little better as he has gotten back on track a little bit as he did go 8 frames against the Marlins in his last start. So good little trajectory for Kyle Hendricks. He's a sinker baller. Got to get that ball down. That's the key to his success. Blake Snell will be going in the finale of the Rays and Orioles series. He is not they have not announced a starter for his to be his counterpart yet. The Orioles haven't. Orioles having some issues with their pitching rotation. We'll see what Buck Showalter does over the weekend. In New York, it'll be Brett Anderson against Luis Severino for the A's. Brett Anderson is 0-1 with the 8.68 ERA. Pitched well in his first start, not so much in his second one for the A's, as he was roughed up for 9 runs in 7 innings against the Astros. And then Severino 5-1, pitching very nicely in the season with that high octane fastball, is like I said, 5-1 with a 2.21 ERA, 63 strikeouts for Severino, as he pitched pretty well against the Astros in his last start. All right, and last but not least, Danny Duffy against Corey Kluber. There's a couple more actually to go over. Danny Duffy against Corey Kluber in Cleveland. It'll be Duffy, who's 1-4 with the 5.15 ERA. Kluber 5-2 with the 2.62 ERA. As they'll get that series done in Cleveland, in KC, Kansas City against the Indians. And then back to Philadelphia, the big game. This is going to be one of the best matchups of the weekend, if not the best matchup of the weekend. Jacob DeGrom is going to face off against Aaron Nola. Two guys with ERAs hovering around 2. DeGrom 3-0 with a 1.87 ERA. Nola 5-1 with a 2.05 ERA. As that will be the finale of that Phillies and Mets series. They saved the best for last in this one, as have the two good young right-handers. As I said, our league is just in fine hands, as we have a bunch of guys who are pitching well, and they're young guys. Down in Texas, Matt Moore will go against the Houston Astros, and Dallas Keuchel will pitch for them, as he's 2-5, still looking to get back on track. More, I don't know how he still has the job in that rotation. He's 1-4 with a 7.11 ERA on the year, not pitching well at all. Down in Los Angeles, it'll be the young Fernando Romero, who is yet to allow a run this season, as he's 2-1 with a 2-0 with a 0 ERA, 14 strikeouts. Shohei Ohtani, 3-1 with a 4.10 ERA, 32 strikeouts. Shohei going for the Angels. He's now back on that normal Sunday starting, like they had him before he had that blister. He had him start one Tuesday, and then they just kind of had him, they skipped until he got, they skipped him all the way until he got back to a start on a Sunday. So that's pretty cool. And then Luis Castillo, one of the young guys I was talking about earlier, he's going to be pitching in L.A. for the Reds against the Dodgers and against Rich Hill, the left-hander, who's looking to get his series back on track. He did have to get scratched in one game, came back, and didn't have a minor league start after his 24 days on the sidelines. Did have an issue with the 3-home-run game he allowed when the Dodgers are any better this time, as they're 1-1. He's 1-1 with a 7.11 ERA. But Dodgers, we'll see how that series continues, as they already have dropped one game to the Reds, a 4-gamer over the weekend. And then finally, it'll be Zach Godley against Jeremy Hellickson in Arizona, as the Nationals and the Diamondbacks will finish off their series there at Chase Field. That'll be the ESPN game this weekend, actually. Sunday Night Baseball in Arizona, as the right-hander for the Diamondbacks, Godley's 4-2 with a 3.83 ERA against Jeremy Hellickson, 1-0 with a 2.28 ERA for the Nats. All right, that'll wrap it up for the day today, as we had a full show for you guys today, kind of give my thoughts on the rivalry, went through all the young stars in Major League Baseball, talked about how baseball is in a good hands these days, obviously, as they have some very young, very good talent. Even the guys who are in the 20 years old, like Albies is, and between 20 and 25, there's a lot of talent. Even 20s, if you want to extend it to the 26-year-old range, too. Tons and tons of talent all around the league, pitching, hitting, everywhere. So everybody, we're in good hands in Major League Baseball as we get into this new era of players. As I mean, even the young guys. I mean, I still remember the 2005 draft, which was the Justin Upton and Ryan Braun, and I think Andrew McCutchen was also in that draft. So you gotta go look at the 2005 MLB draft, and then go look at like the 2012 or 2013 MLB draft, and see there's stars all over the place. As we've been lucky in getting some good baseball. All right, we'll come back on Monday. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll talk about those games I highlighted or I previewed just now. And lots of good pitching performances. Looking forward to seeing how that DeGrom-Nola starts goes on Sunday. So we'll be back on Monday, everybody. Like I said, watch some baseball, enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.